And no matter how small the good you have done, don't be around here talking, "Then I'm going to get mine. I know I'm a good person. I know I did a lot of good. I know I helped." You're going to lose it talking like that. Because that attitude is a bad mark on you. You see? I don't care how small it was. Have faith in Allah and His Word. He say He will give you the reward for that good, no matter how small it was. And look how generous He is respecting good. He says of wrong, if whatever wrong you did, you will get no more than the measure of that. But whatever good you did, you will get multiplied that measure. Not just the measure of that good. He said He will multiply that measure. From 7 to 700 times or more. That's what Allah promises. All right. Now, what about this now? Allah says, the evil that befalls you, don't charge that to God. Charge that to yourself. See, ma'am, what about the high rate of high blood pressure now? And what about the rate of venereal diseases and herpes? And what about the problems we have with rheumatism? Well, why in the hell you live, why you stay by the lake? Why you live by the lake in 50 feet of snow? You got rheumatism, your mother had it, your father had it, you're still living there by the lake with 50 feet of snow coming every winter. You're going to blame Allah for that. And you're still smoking heavy cigarettes and drinking liquors. Some of you drinking liquors while you're pregnant. Some of you women drinking liquors while you're pregnant. And now the doctors have come out and told you, now if that happened, don't blame God, blame yourself. Because your drinking habit may even bring birth defects to your children. So we have enough that we can see now that God has blessed man with science. We have enough that we can see to at least give a whole lot of support to what God reveals. That man's own behavior brings these problems upon him. Say, well, don't we have to die? Isn't that a problem? No, death is a blessing. Death is a blessing. You just crazy. The world has made you crazy. You don't understand what death is. You work hard. You live a good life. You want to stay here as long as you can. Believe as Prophet Muhammad say. He say, live as though the hour of judgment on you will be today. The day will be your last day. He says, and then live again respecting that. Live again as though you're going to live forever. How is that to be understood? Quickly. You want to get it done quickly. It's to be understood this way, that I do all the good in my life, and I live honorably, I live honorably in my religion, knowing that I have to face God. I have to account for what I do wrong. But at the same time, God has given me these facilities. God has given me these capabilities. He's given me these assets of mine. And God has given me the possibility in the environment to live out my own value, my own inherent worth, to fulfill my potential, right? To fulfill my life, the possibility for myself. God has given me an environment in which I can fulfill the possibilities for myself. So that's valuable to me too. I fear God, but I also hold precious the opportunity to live to the fullest the possibilities that Allah has given to me and made lawful. Isn't that wonderful life? Isn't that wonderful how Prophet Muhammad described it? Live as though the night this is over. The day is over for me. If every believer thought the day was over for him, wouldn't he be trying to be better? Wouldn't he be making a good effort to be better? Yes, yes, yes. But the Prophet says, peace be on him, also live as though you're going to live forever. So build as though you're going to live forever. Why? Grow as though you're going to live forever. Because that makes it better for those you're leaving behind. And that will go on your good record. All of that will be written in your good record. See how wonderful it is? Oh, there's so many other quotes from Quran and Hadith to give you, to show you the beauty of the life that Allah gave us in this religion. But let us go on. So we are to believe in al-qadr khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala, that the rules which operate to reward, to grace and both punish, that rule is Allah. But the affliction that comes upon us is our own doing. It says, and the good that happened to you, that's from Allah. What does that tell us? See, you have to have the eye of the wise. Because the highest treasures in the religion, they open only to the best at heart. Is that not right? Yes. So without that eye, you can't see it. You see? And believe me, the wise heart is what makes this wise. The wise heart is a proof that there's wisdom up here. The foolish heart tells us that up here may be artificial. All right. We have to believe also in the resurrection after the death. It says exactly that, the resurrection after the death. And we know that here again, this is in this life as well as in the next. Is that not right? In fact, we're told that if you are not resurrected in this life, expect none hereafter. If you are not awakened here, don't expect anything hereafter. In other words, if you don't come into faith and right attitude of mind in this religion, here, while you live, there is no resurrection for you. Except in hell. I wouldn't call that a resurrection. That's a downward thing. You'd be standing up, but it'd be down. Disgraceful, that is. And unbearable. And we are to believe, we mentioned this. We already mentioned the divine ordinance, or the rules that operate throughout Christianity, throughout the universe, and in Christianity too. They believe the same. They believe in the divine ordinance of God. They believe that too. See, a lot of these beliefs, you may think they're only Muslim, but they're not. Yes. Now, he said also, what did he say also? In a different kind of a scene where the angel Jibreel was sitting among the Muslims. The angel Jibreel in human form. In fact, said in every respect he was looking just like human beings. And he was dressed in clothes that was of the whitest of white, as though he hadn't walked to that place. His clothes was as though he didn't walk to that place, as though he had not experienced what they experienced, because his had no sign that he was traveling anything. The purest of white, said, and his hair was the blackest of black. Hair jet black and clothes the purest of white. I'm just saying this to those who have a deeper thirst or greater imagination. Yes, says that he was addressing the prophet. He sat close to the prophet, putting his knees to the knees of the prophet and his hands upon the thighs. And he said, questioned the prophet, and he asked them to tell him, what is the faith? And Prophet Muhammad was relating to him the faith, and he was just bear witness to what Prophet Muhammad was saying. And at one point, he asked Prophet Muhammad about the hour of judgment. And Prophet Muhammad replied. And after replying, telling Jibreel, the angel Jibreel, that the one who was asking the question, the one who was being questioned, that was the prophet, peace be upon him, were in no better situation to answer that than the questioner, who was Jibreel. Now listen. A lot of us don't listen with both ears. See, I listen with my right and left ear. He said the one who's being questioned is in no better situation to answer than the one who is asking the question. So Jibril said, well, then tell me, what are the signs of it? And Prophet Muhammad began to tell Jibril the signs of the judgment. Now listen, some people, Prophet Muhammad wasn't a prophet then, huh? He only had the Quran, he wasn't a prophet. If you study the life of Prophet Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad's prophecies prophesied many things. His words carried many prophecies, and the prophecies have been coming true all the time, and many of them are coming true right now, in this day and time. He says, okay. He said, well, then tell me the signs of the hour. And Prophet Muhammad says, a sign of the hour will be that you will see the common worker, poor man, servant person, common servant class person, competing in the construction of great buildings, towering buildings, skyscrapers. He will be competing in the construction of high buildings with the builders. Do you know it's very recent in history that the common man now has come into this competition? Very recent in history that the common man has now come into this competition. Now you got the common man. He wants a share of the construction. He wants to get contract too. He wants to be able to contract the building of a big building, tall building downtown somewhere, right? He's demanding his share, you see? Well, Prophet Muhammad said, that's one of the signs of the hour. I'd like to give you time to think over some of these things. I'm not thinking because I don't have nothing to say. I'm giving you time to think. I think we need to think. Now, let me say something else of this report, he said. May God's peace be and blessings be upon the prophet. He said, of the signs, he said, the sun will rise up from the west, not the east, from the west. Now, you know, I always heard that, and I tell you the truth, there was some confusion in my mind. Because I know in the Quran, the idea of the sun coming from the west is treated as an idea in the mind of the disbeliever. So I said, now, if the sun is coming up from the west, it stayed on me, it was a burden. But one of two or three learned persons who are authorities in hadith, reports of Prophet Muhammad's life and what he did. He's still alive. My brother Jabir invited him to consult with him on the book when he was putting the book together, collecting materials for the book, Prayer and Al-Islam. Hadith's name is Abdullah. His name is Abdullah. Hadith Muhaddith. Abdullah Muhaddith is the title for one who is authority in hadith. Muhaddith, the Muhaddith Abdullah. And he was sitting to the table and they asked him to just tell us things of hadith. And his English wasn't that good, but pretty good. He could speak to us in English. So he mentioned this verse of this report, pardon me, on the sun coming, rising from the west. But he gave a part of it that we didn't get in the report that we got in English. He said the sun would rise from the west, but it would come up only to the zenith point. It wouldn't come eastward. And it would set again and come back its natural way. From then on, it will come its natural way. So now, no problem. See, when you tell the whole truth, it's good for the heart. But just part of it may leave the heart with a burden. So I didn't see it, and now no problem. Because the Quran doesn't talk about the infidel, the disbeliever, believing the sun would do that. So he says, you think it will come now. You bring it to the people from the west. Why, I mean, Allah's way is to bring the sun from the east to the west. So it's talking about the sun moving one from one region to another. Whereas in the hadith, the sun doesn't come out of that region to go in another region. It stays in that region. It stays in that horizon. It doesn't come out of the west. It stays in the west. It rises up in the west to the zenith point in the west and goes back down while yet remaining in the western part of the sky. Now, we know this is symbolic. Don't get spooky. has a message. All right. Now, I considered all of that. I said, well, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. But believe me, it speaks to the human value, human person, power, quality, capacity of a human being, and tells us what is possible for him and what his limitations are. It's wonderful. And make us see a human being has great possibilities for the human being. In the real world, not spooky. No possibility for you in the spooky world. It's fantasy. Only imagination. That's the exercise of imagination. That's the only place it's good. But if you don't use it in the real world, that exercise was fruitless, right? All right. Okay, so he said another sign will be, the time is flying, but this is good. He said another sign will be that the servant girl, listen to this, the servant girl will bear the child of her mistress. Now, Prophet Muhammad mentioned the servant competing in the construction of high buildings. And now we hear the mention of a servant girl delivering the child of her mistress. This is the sign of the hour, according to the hadith. Delivering the child of her mistress. Dear beloved people, this is wonderful. This is great. Believe me, what you see in this leadership is an answer to that. Servant girl, weren't we the servant girls? And aren't we now delivering the people? Aren't we delivering the new life, the new people? And isn't the job that we're doing the responsibility of those who were over us? But they didn't do it. So now here is their servant community. The servant child, the servant girl, is now delivering for them what was their responsibility. Now, you know, there are many reasons why the old lady doesn't bear. Sometimes she's just not faithful. Then sometimes she dries up. She becomes too old to bear, right? But we know Allah has the power to even bring life back to the womb of the old person. Because it happened in Sarah's life. Right? So this ain't Sarah I'm talking about. This bitch I'm talking about. I'm talking about the bitch. What you call that dog that just go out and mess with everybody and do everything, have no virtues, no loyalty to the husband, no loyalty to the family. That's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of leadership we have had in the past. Oh, he's talking about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You crazy. Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a victim just like you. I'm talking about the world. So these are signs of the hour. Now we know the judgment is continuous. And there will be a final judgment, the great judgment. But we must understand that if we see signs that tell us that what Prophet Muhammad said is being fulfilled, we are not to take that lightly. We are to take that very seriously. And that will help us understand the time that we are living in. Now, going back to the conversation between Jibreel, Angel Jibreel, and the prophet. What does that conversation reveal to us? What comes out of that conversation? It tells us that there was a difference between the capacity of the two. Muhammad the prophet, peace be on him, and the angel, the perfect angel, Jibreel, right? Tells us there was a difference between the two. But in some instances, one is no more better off than the other. In some some instances. What does it tell us, dear people? Some Muslims have a problem with this. And I pray that I'll be a help. I'm sure there are other people who will help and who have understanding like I do. I haven't met them yet on this particular problem. But they don't have the sensitivity. I haven't met people with the same sensitivity I have on certain problems. This is one of them. They seem to think that angels are above men. Angels are not above men in the plan of God. Men are above angels in the plan of God. Now, that doesn't give me and you the right to say, oh, yeah, I'm higher than the angel. You might be lower than the dog. But those men that Prophet Muhammad chose, they were above the angel. They were a degree above the angel. Prophet Muhammad is above Jibreel. Jibreel is not bigger than Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad is bigger than Jibreel. Jibreel, he was asking Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad didn't say, Jibreel has come to teach me my religion. He said, that was Jibreel. So he came to teach you your religion. He wasn't teaching Prophet Muhammad anything. Say, but how come Prophet Muhammad couldn't get it direct? If Prophet Muhammad is more important than Jibreel, how come Prophet Muhammad didn't get it direct? Look, man, I couldn't get here without Clara Muhammad. That's my mother. But my mother admired me and said she was my follower before she died. And I can't get here if I don't keep eating food and vegetables and drinking water and eating. I can't stay here, pardon me, if I don't keep eating food and drinking water, keep eating from the dead matter of this world and the living matter of this world. But I consider myself more highly evolved than the things I eat. But they keep me here. I wouldn't be here if I stopped eating those things. So don't come to me with that stuff about Jibreel is over Prophet Muhammad. Jibreel was under Prophet Muhammad. He was only a medium for the message to flow through to Prophet Muhammad. Jibreel couldn't teach the people. He couldn't teach the people. If he could teach the people, Allah would have made him the teacher. Allah said, if the earth had been populated with angels, I would have made an angel as teacher. He said, but since the earth is populated with men, I have made a man as teacher. That's what Allah says in the Quran. So an angel only has so much, is limited. He only can get what Allah gives him, and it's limited. There, he stops there. But man can get what Allah gives him, and then man can use the tools, the faculties, the capacity that Allah has given him above the angel, because Allah has given him a degree above the angel. The man now can use that degree of potential that he has above the angel to do the job of man in the world. Yes. So we have to understand that. So he says that this is Jibreel. He has come to teach you your religion. But now, did anybody think was so foolish to say, well, Prophet Muhammad, we don't need you anymore? How was he teaching them? How was he teaching them their religion? That's what you have to learn. See, Prophet Muhammad had already taught them that. Right? He wasn't telling them nothing new. Prophet Muhammad had already taught them that. But what are you telling them? This is Jibreel. He comes to teach you your religion. Say, this is Jibreel, the high archangel. He is sitting down close to Prophet Muhammad with his body touching Prophet Muhammad's body, showing that the medium went from me to Prophet Muhammad. And now, see how I respect him? I ask him, Prophet Muhammad, teach me. Prophet Muhammad was asking, Jibreel was asking Prophet Muhammad. Say, Prophet Muhammad, what about the hour? He was asking questions. So Jibreel came to teach the Muslims how to respect Prophet Muhammad and how to want to get near to him and how to respect Prophet Muhammad and how to ask him questions so you will learn something.